Hey everyone, before we get into the Season 2 recap of Tower 4, we just wanted to tell you about a new thriller scripted fiction series called The Hitler File. It stars two of the best character actors on planet Earth, Peter Stormare and Dennis O'Hare. You may know Peter as the guy who put Steve Buscemi in a wood chipper in Fargo, or the coolest depiction of Lucifer ever in Constantine. He also has a small part in Minority Report. Dennis O'Hare is one of the core cast members of American Horror Story and also has been in True Blood and possibly the best scene in the film Michael Clayton. The Hitler File uses real history but tells a parallel fictional story where Peter plays Dr. Dromerk, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, as a psychotherapist who meets Adolf Hitler, played by Dennis, when he's just a lowly corporal after World War I, and their relationship goes all the way to the waning days of World War II, where Dr. Dromerk decides to use his particular set of skills, his knowledge of the mind, to destroy Hitler. This is a really high quality podcast where 85% of it is just these two incredible actors going head to head. We think you're really going to love it. So make sure to go to hitlerfile.com or search for Hitler File wherever you listen to podcasts. And stick around after this episode of Tower 4 for a trailer of this series. Once again, that's hitlerfile.com or search for Hitler File wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks. And now for the Season 2 recap of Tower 4.
Seven Lamb Productions presents Tower 4. Season 2 recap.
Yeah. Shut the door while we're recording. Hey everybody, how's it going? Rob's gonna get up real quick and shut a door, and then we're gonna get back into our Tower 4 Season 2 recap. How you doing, Rob?
Pretty good. How about you, Jack?
Doing all right. Oh wait, who's this? Who's our special guest?
Gina Coyle.
Oh, my favorite.
Hi guys.
How's it going?
All right.
Of course, who plays Ambie?
Yeah, yep. Ambie. Don't say it like that.
I won't. Nice. Ever again.
Yeah, this is the Tower 4 recap episode.
Yep, Season 2 recap.
Yep. But I like we already introduced ourselves, but you're actually going to do the actual recap.
Yes, the written recap.
Which is if you want to say like you already listened to the season and season 3 is dropping right now and right. You're like, "Oh, but I don't remember much of season 2 and I don't want to listen to all those episodes even though they're so good. I'll just listen to the recap. This is it right now." So, Jack's going to take the mic, just talk for a while. Recap everything, and then we'll get into discussions.
I was told specifically, if I mess up one time, I'm out.
Yeah, you're not Mike anymore.
I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. You can play young Mike.
So no pressure.
It's only like 4 pages long.
It's only 4 pages of what is this, 12 or 16 on the font size?
12. But not, and it's not double spaced.
Not so. Double spaced, single spaced. Yeah. All right, here we go. Let's get into it. Tower 4 Season 2 recap. We began season 2, we get a flashback to the moments just before Mike's mother's passing. He's going through a lot of emotions. He tells her about how he blames her and dad for a lot, but he still loves her. She's unconscious at the time, but he tells her nonetheless. Mike then has a dream of howling wind, people talking, growling, and a loud roar. Season 2 has begun. At the end of season 1, Mike was beaten, drugged, and dragged underground. Or was he? It's in all caps. I had to hit it like that. When he awakens the next morning outside, everything seems to be back to normal, as if there was no fight in his tower, although he is still beaten and bruised. He's in a lot of pain and walks around trying to remember what happened the night before. Amber, you, calls to remind him of his drunkenness, but he wants to know what they talked about. She's upset he ditched her, but again, his memory is foggy. He didn't realize he did. Later, Amber calls Mike to tell him about a supply drop. Mike finds the timing a little odd. That night, Mike has a nightmare. Not only was he floating above his childhood home, but he also saw a large door, flickering lights, and heard growling. When Mike awakens at 4 a.m., he notices Amber's light is on. He tries calling her to no avail, but moments later, her light goes off. Mike gives up and plans to go back to bed until he realizes his nightmare may have been more than just a dream. Was it a memory? That's when he remembers the bunker and Jerry. Mike stays up all night typing away at his computer. He's trying to take notes of everything he remembers, cash boxes, eye carvings, and so on. The further back, the easier. When Amber calls him in the morning, he confronts her about being up at 4 a.m. Why? Her explanation is simple. She was going to the bathroom. Mike takes the explanation with a grain of salt, but then Amber questions him about the bird, something he mentioned in his drunken night. Mike also tries to apologize for dishing Amber the other day, although he doesn't remember why. Amber's confused by this, but she's glad about Mikey deciding to stay. There I go. I'm done. Nope. Several days pass and Mike continues to have weird dreams and nightmares. Eventually, his foot feels good enough to walk on and he heads up to the supply drop. When he reaches the field, though, he finds his supplies have been ransacked. Amber, still thinking it's raccoons, says she'll call Gene and put in a double order. Amber then warns of an approaching storm. Mike lies and says he's going to head back to the tower, but instead heads to Site 5. He's been dreaming about the area. When he gets there, he can't find the tree with the eye carving, but he does find something of interest. Jerry! It's got an exclamation point.
Of course.
Sorry, old habits. Mike tries to question Jerry. While he remembers him, he doesn't remember everything they talked about, but Jerry wants none of it. Saying that they took Mike, he runs off. Mike notices he's standing on banana chips. Was Jerry the one who broke into his supplies? Page 2. Mike gets back to the tower soaking wet. He got caught in the storm. Amber doesn't understand why, since he said he was heading back sooner, but keeping Site 5 a secret. Not a secret, a secret.
My bad.
Mike just blames his hurt ankle. While it storms outside, Mike and Amber talk about dreams, meaningful coincidences, and Mike's ex, Sarah. Mike also brings up Amber's late night at 4 a.m., saying he found it odd because his father left him at 4 a.m. It's the last time he ever saw his father. Later at night, while Mike makes some food, the power goes off. Startled, he drops a glass, which sparks a memory, and that's when Jerry's words finally mean something. Mike was taken by someone, but who? Remembering this, Mike is angry and frustrated and actually decides to leave for good. He packs his bags and heads down the trail. Hours later, thinking someone is following, he stops. He thinks it's Jerry until a mysterious hiker by the name of Kyle shows up. Kyle got lost in the woods and just happened to stumble by. Mike doesn't believe a word out of his mouth, and when Kyle's backpack starts beeping, Mike loses it and attacks. Eventually, Mike comes to his senses, and the man packs up all his loose articles from the attack and runs off. Mike tries to keep his composure. It turns out the electronic beeping was just a watch. So why did Mike lose control? He thinks back to his troublesome relationship with Melinda, a time where he tried to keep his composure and deal with a person who constantly lost control. Hours later, while hiking along the trail, Mike hears a radio, even though he left his radio in the tower. Gene and Amber are having a conversation. He finds the radio sitting on a stump and listens in. Gene knows Mike is leaving, but how? And how did he get his radio there? And how did his radio get there? Mike actually catches Gene lying a few more times to Amber. Mike goes back to the trail and finds a note scribbled in the dirt. Don't leave. How did everyone know he was leaving? And why did Gene lie so much? Mike gets a sudden impulse and starts inspecting his body. It doesn't take long before he finds a weird device, as small as a BB, stuck in his arm. Was he being tracked? To test this theory, Mike devises a plan to eavesdrop on Gene and Amber's conversation. He heads back to the tower, tells Amber a lie about Overarch, and leaves the BB. He then hikes all the way back to his previous spot where he heard their conversations the day before. He's able to hear their conversations and learn that Gene believes he knows where Mike is. Mike is staying in the tower. Amber tells him the opposite after chatting with Mike. Things get tricky as Mike sits in his tent waiting for more conversations between Gene and Amber. It doesn't take long before Mike believes he has the upper hand. With a metallic object sitting on his bed, he doesn't think he can be tracked anymore. After Mike takes a much-needed nap, he talks with Amber, who admits she's hurt by their last few chats. She feels Mike is tired of talking to her, but Mike assures her that that's not the case. 2 days later, and Mike is searching for Jerry, but Jerry never shows. Mike explores the Windwalk Trail, all while lying to Amber about spending some time on his writing. One night, while sleeping in the woods, Mike wakes up to a faraway conversation. Two men are talking. Mike explores to find the men.
Page 3.
I'm going to do this like old-timey radio.
Yeah.
Taking things out of the cave, Jerry's cave. The men pack all the Jerry's Perfect. Things onto a cart and take off. No, I'm kidding. So let me get back to that old sentence so I don't screw it up completely. Mike explores to find the men taking things out of a cave, Jerry's cave. The men pack all of Jerry's things on a cart and take off. But before Mike can explore the cave, Jerry pounces. There are cameras set up, and Jerry didn't want Mike to be seen. Jerry leads Mike to his side entrance while Mike bombards him with questions. Jerry's upset his things were taken, but not everything. And that's when Jerry reveals a gun. Jerry was upset Mike was thinking of leaving and not helping, so now Mike says he's changed his mind. He follows Jerry as they traverse the woods, tracking the cart and men. Mike asks Jerry about his past, but not much is remembered, of course. They eventually stumble upon a large field, but not one that Mike has ever visited. Eventually, they find the cart's tracks disappear near some boulders. They believe the cart went underground, but they can't find anything to help them. No way in and no other tracks. Mike rests and thinks about the time he caught Melinda cheating with the help of his friend Ricky. He applies the same tactics by sending Jerry back to his cave. He wants him to be seen on camera. The lure works. The boulders move and the cart drives out from down below. Mike runs for the entrance and reaches it just in time. The problem now is he's shrouded in darkness. Mike makes his way into the bunker, which eventually expands into a larger hangar area. On the other side of the large room is a set of steel doors with a number 4 painted on it. Using his flashlight, he searches the room, but doesn't find much outside of some old supplies, crates, and carts on cinder blocks, and fluorescent lights.
A lot of fluorescent lights.
I had to say fluorescent 80 times. And it's not That's mentioned an exaggeration. In the recap. It's not mentioned in the recap, so I feel the need. Fluorescent lights all over the place. Also, none of the doors work. He made it underground, but it's dark, and he's trapped. Mike stays underground for hours, trying to find a way either deeper into the bunker or a way out. While exploring, he thinks of his sessions with Dr. Browning, his therapist. It took a while for him to open up to Dr. Browning, but eventually he did, sharing about his mother, his relationships, the feeling of being trapped and not knowing what to do with his life, etc. He thinks back on many sessions, especially his last one where he shares his new job opportunity, being a fire lookout. And while he knows nothing of the job, both him and his therapist think it would not only be a good opportunity to get away, but also to work on his book. Eventually, the cart and men return. Steel doors open, and Mike watches in awe. He notices more steel doors beyond the current ones, but he also notices Jerry in the back of the cart. He seems unconscious, but is he? What happened to him? They caught him, but they didn't hurt him? He doesn't have much time to dwell as the steel doors start closing. So do the boulders above. Mike tries to make it out, but it's too late. Once again, he's trapped. Hours pass, but eventually Mike finds he can talk to Amber at the top of the entrance ramp. He does so until the boulder doors move, revealing a night sky. He feels tremors deep within the bunker, and his radio starts acting funny. He hears whispers, static, gunshots, and an alarm. The steel doors on the other side of the room open. Only one man appears in the cart, this time, and he's bloody. He quickly drives out of the bunker. What happened? Doesn't matter. Mike grabs his backpack and runs out before being trapped again. He sees the cart tracks in the grass and decides to follow them. While Mike again wants to get out, he's also super curious about what's going on. He wants answers, as do all of you listening. While he follows the tracks, he chats with Amber, who mentions the tremors. There's also another fire in Mike's sector of the forest. Page 4.
This is the last page, though. Last page.
Let's see. Mike decides to finally come clean and tell Amber everything. He does, except his radio goes crazy and starts playing classical music again. Did she hear anything of what Mike said? Mike listens to the music for a while until it abruptly stops. Oh my gosh, let me start that one over. Mike listens to the music for a while until it abruptly stops. Not long before he finds the cart had crashed and the man is stuck underneath and bleeding out. Mike frees him, then starts asking questions. He gets more questions than answers, though, although he doesn't find some things. He does find out some things. The man's name is Lance. He works underground. What a gig. Hi, I'm Lance. I work underground. How you doing?
Bob.
Got any boulder doors over at Home Goods? Didn't think so. Anyway, sorry. Okay. He works underground. He mentions something called Iris, test subjects, and rats. Mike tries to follow, but has a hard time. Amber calls to tell Mike about a helicopter doing another drop later, but Lance says this is untrue. Mike wants to ask more questions, but when he starts seeing figures in the field and woods and hearing strange whispers, he knows his time is short. Suddenly, a scrawny figure appears and bashes Lance's face in with a rock, splattering his brains all over the nearby ground.
Gross.
His molars and teeth and tongue. And I'm just, okay, that's not written here.
No.
Suddenly, scrawny figure. La, 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 la. More figures appear. Mike panics and with bow in hand runs off. He runs blindly through the woods, but he's being followed. More mysterious, disfigured things appear. He tries to hold his ground, but the figures attack him. They look like people, but not normal people. Peeper. Are these the so-called rats? Mike tries to fight to no avail. One of the figures pounces and is about to smash his head with a rock until a helicopter arrives overhead. This scares them all off. Mike, in pain and exhausted, passes out and the helicopter flies off. When he awakens, it's storming. He gathers what little things he has left and walks off. Eventually, Mike calls it, sets up camp. He falls asleep under his makeshift tent, and when he wakens this time, it's morning and the storm has passed. His radio has been smashed during the attack, but he hears the crackle of another one. He also sees a strange, heavily armed man shoot one of the other figures from the night before. The armed man eventually notices Mike and fires at him. Mike hides until the man gets too close. Using his last arrow, he fires, but has no impact on the body armor. The mysterious man is about to kill Mike until Jerry comes to the rescue and fires first. The armored man dies, but Jerry's been shot too. Mike asks Jerry where they are. He tells him Site 4. They're also not too far from Windwalk. Mike has only one idea that can help Jerry. He takes him to see Amber's Tower. He takes him to Amber's Tower, but they don't reach it in time. Jerry passes out in too much pain. Mike runs the rest of the way and finds Amber coming out of her outhouse. He begs her for help. On their way back to Jerry, Amber apologizes for not looking exactly how she described herself. Mike doesn't care. There's a weird awkwardness between them. Their first meeting is not a pleasant one. When they reach Jerry, it's too late. He's dead. Mike has a complete breakdown and tells Amber everything he's experienced. The bunker, the music, Lance, the attack, everything. The fact that Lance works underground. There's a door boulder. All of it. He's not crazy, but once Mike calms, Amber has some news for him. The person laying on the ground before them is not Jerry. The end.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bravo.
So, Gina, did that sound like you just listened to the entire series in 10 minutes?
Yeah, it did. I do want to point out, though, I noticed this a lot, that, you know, it was Mike constantly lying. You know, I feel like Amber gets a really bad rap. But he's continuously.
Oh, boy.
But Mike lied and Mike lied and Mike lied. So I just want to point that out to everybody.
That's true.
Amber, I think the moral of your story is Amber's trustworthy. Just give her
a shot. Like,
and there are so many people out there listening to this that go, nope.
I know.
Nope.
My husband just came and like gave me like these eyes. Like,
He's my favorite commenter when it comes to Tower 4. He's always like, that Amber sure is suspicious.
Yeah, I don't trust her.
I don't trust her.
She's annoying. Why is she so annoying?
That's another one. Oh, good Lord.
No, that's true, though. Mike does lie a lot.
A lot.
So, I mean, you know, there's some give and take.
Hey, take it easy.
I'm just saying.
There was never Amber lied, you know. Even Jean lied.
Well, we don't know.
There's a lot of people lying.
We don't know if Amber's lying yet or not.
That's true.
So, just wanted to highlight that.
That makes sense.
I love it. And we actually, funny thing, this season, season two, is the first time that Gina and I got to record together.
Yeah, I wrote that first time ever.
So I wrote some notes down, just like different things that we can chat about. One of the things was I mentioned that Gina came to visit.
So Rob and I were out bowling with a lot of friends, and I forget what
it was,
the
like seven
land
people. It was like we were all together.
Yeah, Brian was there, Amber was there,
Amy.
Not that Amber.
Did Amy come?
Amy was there for a little bit of time, but I remember Rob doesn't have a good drinking poker face, so he comes to me and goes, "Somebody's gonna be here tomorrow."
Yep.
And I had seen Steve post about Florida or something. Are you guys going on vacation? Is it Gina? He goes, it's Gina. Did I tell you? I was like, no.
Together.
So it was really fun to meet you and Steve and just kind of shoot the shit for a little bit.
Yeah, because before that, you just recorded remotely and then sent us your lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So like for years I've heard your voices, but like I've never met anyone. So it was cool. Yeah.
And we talked about this a little bit on Robert and a Friend, which is a Patreon episode. But yes. What was your first like role that you did for Seven Lamb? Do you remember?
Atlas Avenue Beat. I was Julian Good.
Okay.
Who were you in Atlas?
It was Julian Good. She was Julian Good.
Oh, good Lord, Julian Good.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
That's so fun.
Because we started releasing Tower 4 in 2020. And then that's when, like, yeah, after Julian Good, I'm like, let's see if she wants to be in this. I'm like, yeah. There's only two characters, so it's going to be a lot more lines. But let's see.
Lots of fun. I always tell people my first one was paralyzed. I was a cop at the end of season one that goes, are you okay?
And that was your one line.
That was it.
Yeah. Nailed
it, though. And ever since then, none of the peasants that I would pass could give me eye contact.
Yeah. You always needed a red carpet.
Always
in front of you.
Needed a red carpet. Yeah. People had to belt rose petals at me.
Yeah, makes sense. No, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah, I mean, so we've been doing this since 2020, Tower 4 at least.
Yeah,
and it's crazy. Only season two, but we release monthly, which is something people love.
Yep,
complain about.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about Tower 4 is either one star or five stars.
it's very like
great. I love it. Or it's one star. They only release once a month. Don't even listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just okay. Whatever.
Listen, we would love to release faster.
Yep.
We would love it.
We would literally love that.
You know, that's when we make money. Is when we release that. But it's just, sometimes it's just not doable. We try our hardest. But Gina always records super fast. Gina, so thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, I don't want anyone to get mad at me. So I'm like, at least I can be like, it's not me.
My lines are ready.
Yeah. I submitted my before you even gave me the script. Yeah, right. I knew what she was going to say this week.
Yeah. All right. So we wanted to do the recap for everybody. So if you're getting ready for season three right now, or you are just wanting to have something for Tower 4 between season two and three, this is great. Or you're just catching up and listening to all the recap episodes, or some of our wonderful fans have listened to this series quite a few times.
Yeah.
We are going to do a little bit more discussion about it. And then we have questions from everyone else.
Yeah. From like fans and stuff on Twitter. We made a post on Twitter, Facebook, which by the way, if you don't follow us at Seven Lamb Podcasts, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we even have a Facebook group. So join that, because there's always a lot of discussions, not only for Tower 4, but for all of our podcasts.
Yes.
If you don't know, we do a ton of different ones, ton of different genres and everything. So I mean, I wrote down some like just like little notes. Like mostly some of it is like writing stuff. Like for instance, I don't like writing flashbacks, but because Mike is the only character with VO right now, it's kind of like necessary to break up the everyday life of Mike, you know, cooking food.
Yeah.
Walking along a trail.
It has been 4 hours since I've used the outhouse.
Yeah.
I have to
add something more to it. So I feel like flashbacks, to an extent, a lot of them are going to come back later on story-wise, and they tie into the episode at hand. It's interesting because, you have the only voiceover. Gina, you just do, lines all over the radio and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. So, like, I don't know if Gina will ever have voiceover. Maybe Amber will at some point.
Yeah, once she finally reveals her dark secret.
The fact that she lies all the time.
Yeah. She's a chronological liar.
I don't believe it. I'd be devastated if it was like it's all true, like you are the worst person. I'd be like,
no. Oh no.
I'm really your biggest fan.
You'd be so remorseful. Mike, I hate you. I'm actually working with whatever.
There was one, not a complaint, but somebody commented saying that they wish there could just be a Amber and Mike flirting over the radio.
Somebody did ask for that.
Missed that. They're like, I missed the first three episodes. I'm like, yeah, but this is a mystery thriller.
Not like a comedy.
No, you hang up.
You hang up. You're an hour, a solid hour of that.
Yeah.
So what's it like on your side of the forest?
Yeah. I saw this squirrel. Did you see it? We're miles away from each other.
Stop it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to like look through my notes.
Let's do this too. Yeah. And say, okay, things we're not going to be releasing on this episode. our exact release dates for season three.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Spoilers, like major.
We'll try to give like a little bit of stuff, right, but we're not going to do major.
And Rob is the Kevin Feige, so I'll let him leak what he feels like leaking, because I will leak the wrong thing.
Yeah.
About Mike's laser eyes and stuff.
There's going to be a female Thor.
That's right. That's right.
There you go.
In our show.
In our show.
In yes, it is the female Thor from Firewatch.
Yeah. Yes. I'm trying to look goodness. Through here. So like, I also did, here's just like a little Easter egg. I put, besides the fuck Barry thing,
yeah,
which is like in Barry. All of our podcasts, for some reason, it's just like, screw this guy named Barry.
Yeah.
And that's something that we've put in most of our podcasts.
Yeah.
Barry's played by a good friend of ours,
who is actually like the sweetest guy.
Yeah, in Atlas Avenue, yeah. Beat. And then ever since we wrote an episode in Atlas Avenue Beat where the main character Locke like just rips into him for no reason, really,
right,
ever since then it's been kind of like screw this guy. So we've put that like little bit of dialogue in End of All Hope, we put it now in Tower 4 season 2.
Yeah,
we put it in a lot of things.
And next time Barry is in town, we need to do an Atlas Avenue Beat live stream so people can actually meet who you're telling to go fuck themselves.
I'm just worried that
people really like Barry too much.
Yeah, they might be mean to him.
Oh boy.
I also wrote down that Dr. Browning, Mike's therapist, I named after Todd Browning, the director of Freaks and Dracula.
Wow.
And in Paralyzed, another show that we do, our horror show, there's a Dr. Carpenter, and I named him after John Carpenter, the horror.
Oh, I like John Carpenter.
Yeah. So I did. And there's actually a reason why Todd Browning is kind of the director I chose for this one, but I won't say exactly because I don't want to spoil stuff. So,
right.
But that was like a little,
as everybody frantically goes to watch the movie.
Yeah, Dracula and Freaks.
Looking for all the clues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One of the characters' name is Mike. Oh, strap in.
Oh, snap.
So yeah, I figured we could get into some questions. There's a lot of really good ones in here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you want to start it right now?
Well, we'll do a couple, and then if I think of something while somebody's mentioning, I'll talk sure. about it or whatever.
Okay, so here's the first one. It's actually Virginia. It's from Steve Coyle. It says, why
God.
Personality is so annoying?
Because I'm thinking of you.
Oh, wow. That's recorded.
If you ever play, no, that is the reverse card. That's yeah. what that is. That's so good. Okay, this is an interesting one, and I actually am going to let you take this one first, Gina. It's curious. This is from Jonathan Shipman from Facebook. Curious how much interpretation the voice actors take with their characters and script. There are a ton of small jokes in the dialogue, and wondering if that comes from the voice actors or from you, Robert.
Okay, well, when Rob gives me a character, it's usually like he gives me like a couple lines, like this is what I'm thinking of the person, and then like I look things over. I don't deviate at all, because I'm like, I don't want to mess up what you're doing. So I do what you say, like literally word for word. Like if I mess up an article, I'm like, oh no.
Right.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah, yeah. If it's like if it's the and I say, oh, I'm like, oh God, I gotta fix that. Like, that's how I put. Like, I don't want to get in trouble. So like, I will stick to it like religiously. Yeah.
And one thing that you do also is like you send us, like you edit down your dialogue when you send it to us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised. No, I appreciate that, because that's something that like not everybody does. Not that they have to.
Right.
When they send.
Yeah. Stuff,
but like I noticed. So I'm always like, this is the one that she liked the best. Like, I
if
know,
you
like,
took I the time to edit mine down.
Yeah.
From all the bull crap that I'm saying in the studio.
Yeah.
It would take as long as editing the actual episode, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And it depends. Like sometimes I'm like trying to figure out like, okay, like this one line could be said in 20 different ways and it would mean something different based on the inflections and the pauses. And then so sometimes I go down a black hole and I'm like, right. I don't know what he means. And then I just kind of, I'm like, he'll tell me, right? Like if I got it wrong, he'll let me know. Because otherwise like I'll go crazy if I like overthink it. So.
Yeah. And a lot of this dialogue is hard to play with in terms of being the actor reading the script. There are some that we've gotten a little bit of freedom to add our own jokes in and our own inflections and stuff like that. But Tower 4 is really not one of those, because everything that's said is very purposeful. There's behind it. So we can't do too much. Now, every once in a while, I'll change the inflection to what it's meant to be. And either Rob will go, do not do that again.
And I'll scold.
Or he'll go, That's perfect. Let's go with that. Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of actual changing of the dialogue, not for Tower 4, that doesn't really happen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Rob's a funny guy.
People a lot of times, that. Like, yeah, if it like, as long as it doesn't deviate, like where the story is going or whatever, like it's not too big of a deal. But like, there are certain ways that lines have to be said. And because this is so dialogue heavy,
yeah,
it is important to get the right inflection and say the thing the right way so it matches the other character, because there's so much back and forth between Mike and Gina. I will say, though, I do have a problem sometimes that I write a lot of run-on sentences, which Jack loves. I don't know hate if you ever send too many to you.
I've never noticed. I don't know.
I love long sentences. I just... that's what commas are for, man.
Yeah. I there are so many times I'll start reading a sentence and I'll think I'm reaching the end of it and I'll realize that it's just going to keep going. And I just,
and then look, he takes a deep breath.
Come on, man. I have to read it again. A lot of these questions that I have, guys, are very story driven.
Yeah. What's
gonna happen? I would love to read them. Like some of them, why create rat people? What is the monster? Is Amber in on it all? We would love to tell you that, but that's going to have to be kind of a
but they don't really want to know. I don't think you guys really want to know that stuff.
Right. Because then why listen? Like it ruins all the fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people loved, and I'm surprised by this, a lot of people love the ending where she says that's not Jerry. Like they just love that as like the final line.
There are,
we've gotten emails and messages from it saying like the best ending.
That's greatest one that we've done. Okay. And I love that. And there was just one guy that commented, was like, really? It's not Jerry. That's what you got.
Yeah.
I love that line. When I read it, I was like, oh, this is cool. Actually, when I got the last episode, once I realized that they were meeting, because usually what I'll do when I get the script is I only pay attention to like the scenes I'm in because I don't want to know anything else that's going on in the world of the story. But as soon as I realized that we were meeting for the first time, I was like, I want to do this. Like,
big
I want to do one take. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted my shock. Like, because it's kind of like as a fan too. Like, because I don't get anything really in advance of anyone else. So it's like, once I realized, I was like, oh my God, this is the moment they're going to meet. So I was like, all right, let me go right up and record it right away because I wanted my reaction to kind of be natural. Like I wanted it to match how she would feel.
So. I like it because it's actually like, and I don't know if you did this purposefully, but it's kind of like a little more toned down and kind of like,
kind of trepidatious.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Why are you here?
Yeah, because I think it's different too. Like it's like keyboard warriors, right? Like it's one thing to not see the person that you're talking to and you can be whoever you want to be, right? But once you're face to face with somebody, like, that mask has to come off a little bit. You know what I mean?
Well, she's apologetic because she kind of did like tell a little bit of a fib of how old she was and all this stuff. So
that to me is great because it kind of mimics real life because, you know, everybody kind of has their own image of somebody else in their head.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at some point,
but it's Amber, not like she catfished
them. No.
Like actually a man. Like,
right. Didn't think mine'd be bigger than yours. Did you, Mike?
Dang it. Ambi?
Yeah. or is it ombre? No, I have a good one from Twitter, from @TaylorDelReed. You kind of answered this, so I'm just gonna kind of piggyback off in this. How is it getting prepared and recording the last episode of season two, especially for Mike? So high energy, such high stakes, great voice acting, yada yada yada. Thank you. So this is one of the biggest things that I've heard about Mike from all the reviews, because I read them and I shouldn't.
Yeah, don't. I don't know why you do. I don't do it anymore.
He's so monotone and he's so kind of, you know what I mean? And my justification for that was he's alone in the woods all the time.
Yeah.
He emotes a little bit when he's talking to Amber, but when he's in his own head and he's out in the woods, I imagine that's probably not very high energy. No. Nobody emotes a lot to themselves. So I figured that's what I do for Mike. So when this was kind of coming to the culmination and things were really crazy, I did kind of say that to myself, just like you said, when you're meeting Amber for the first time, I thought the same thing. Cause I was like, oh shit, he's meeting Amber.
Yeah. For
And then it was like, oh, he's actually in a situation where he could die. So he's probably not going to be like, oh no, everyone's surrounding me. Please come and get some. No. So I will sometimes look at Mike and go, okay, turn me way, way down because I'm going to go crazy on this one. And that one, just not only for the performance sake, I wanted that one to be like, okay, I don't want people to look at Mike and go, he's always so just kind of wimpy and monotone because he always kind of gets his butt kicked all the time.
But you know also, I mean? I liked the last, like the last speech you had, like kind of
breakdown,
because she's just going like, Mike, like,
hey,
by the way, that's not Sherry.
Right, right. You're just trying to desperately get my attention. But, you know, he's struggling with so much. He's, like I said, he's gotten his ass kicked. Yeah. He's always out there and he's always hurt. And he's like, what am I doing out here?
Yeah.
And finally, he's like, OK, at this point, I'm going to die if I don't put up or shut up.
That and is then, that is a struggle, though, story wise, is which I think it worked out good for season two. But it's like, why is he still there?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing, is how do you keep this character there when so much craziness is happening? And now it's kind of at that culmination of he doesn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah.
And but now he met with Amber and who knows what she's going to say at this point. They're obviously going to have a sit down or something, because she just dropped some big news on him. And
yeah,
he just had a kind of mental breakdown. I mean, you did that in one take, just like reading through and like.
I had to, just like you said, I was like, I've got to get this out. I can't stop and pause because I got to keep that momentum going.
Yes.
I want it to sound very, very genuine. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a two-parter question. The question came from Facebook again. I'm going to get over to Instagram after this. What are some of the things you look forward to in season three? Anything you can reveal? I want to start with that question for season two. What was the thing that you read or you wrote when you were in season two that you were like, oh man, that is so good. Like, what was your favorite part of season two? That comes from Colin Fengier, F-E-N-G-I-E-R. Sorry if I got that wrong.
I'll let Gina go first.
I was really excited when they met. Like I said, that really like stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, wow, like this is two whole seasons building up to this. And I feel like, you know, there was like a teaser of it. Like, what was that, season one, when they like almost did,
they're
and it
almost
didn't work dead. Out, right? Yeah. So it was like, you know, I'm like, I like that kind of like trope. So I was really, really excited about that. And I have to be honest, every time I get a new script, I'm always waiting to play Dashboard Confessional and be like, vindicated. Like, I'm really waiting for my moment. And so I look at all the scripts. I'm like, is this the one?
Is this Please. The one where Amber's not in on it?
Or yeah, it's like,
read that finally, one. Go, like, oh, it is me. You walk
well,
in.
There was one. Oh my gosh, I forget which episode it was. But I think it might have even been in season one where I was like, oh my God, like, I am the bad guy. And I was so upset. So I was like, but then it turned around and I was like, no. And then like, even like the titles.
So there you go. Like, you're at home listening and you're confused. So is Amber.
Amber's very confused.
All right, how about you?
I mean, it's probably the same thing. I knew starting season two, it was going to be a struggle of where to go. I feel like a lot of shows always have their sophomore slump because season one comes out and it's good and people expect so much from the next season and it never lives up to the first season.
Never.
So it's like, and we like slow, that's one thing I wrote down, which we always mention, is we like slow builds in our shows. So there's always like, you know, there's a lot of slow moving parts and a lot of dialogue and a lot of stuff going on before it culminates into this big.
I think it helps too, because it puts people into their head. It lets them create what they think and it lets them kind of build it a little bit.
Well, and kind of toying with the fact, is Amber bad? Is she good? Does she know what's going on? Does she not? Is she a big player? Is she a small part? Whatever it is, there's a lot. But I knew that they were going to meet at the end of season two. And I think I told you pretty early on when I was writing that they were going to meet. I just didn't know exactly how. But but after I wrote the first episode of season two, I was like, I think she's going to be the one that reveals this isn't Jerry.
Yeah.
So that was the big thing. And I was kind of like excited to get, and I'm like, now how do I get there?
Yeah.
So I was right into that point.
I had my favorite moment of season two was, and I remember reading it on the script and going, oh shit, let's go. Was when he was switching back and forth between channels listening to people. I was like, well played, Mike.
Well played.
The eavesdropping and listening to people and his commentary in between was like, come on, give me something, give me something. That was the most intense moment for me, other than of course the finales.
Right.
Moments. But that part where he was starting to play them both, I remember hearing that and going, this is going to be a good one. Yeah. And as soon as that one dropped, all the comments of like, get him, Mike, you got this. Love that.
I will say that some people were like, oh, maybe Amber's not in on it with that episode. Like some people thought like, oh, maybe she doesn't really know what's going on. And maybe it's all Gene or, you know, so I kind of like that aspect of it too.
Yeah, there are so many questions and they're all just so story driven. I can't do too much.
But okay. We appreciate all the
for
comments.
Real.
We
this got was a ton of comments. It's kind of overwhelming questions. All the comments that were in. I was like, dang, man, let's get to some of these. I would love to do something a little bit peeking towards spoilers, but we'll see.
I will say that for next season, which we're not sure when it's dropping.
We have an idea. But we don't want to say, yeah, it's going to come out at this time, because
if it doesn't,
life has happened a lot this year and a lot of great things have happened for us that maybe don't translate to your release schedule.
Right.
But there are more like really amazing things happening, and yeah, we're just trying to get this out for you as fast as we can. So we apologize for the delay. But
and I wrote down that we had a lot of issues this season besides two hurricanes, because we live in Florida.
Two hurricanes.
Jack had a baby recently.
Woo!
We've had people who've got COVID, the flu, who couldn't record.
Like, somebody who got COVID characters on a cruise.
Yeah. a lot of side characters that we had a side character who played a small character in Tower 4, but we didn't want to recast him, and he just got married, so we had to wait till he got back from his honeymoon. I moved in with my girlfriend. That took a long time, and now we're converting my old place into a full studio, so that's been taking a lot of time. And then we transitioned to Bloody Disgusting. We've had a lot of Zoom calls. My grandma passed away. I mean, there's just so many things that like just we can't, like, we release as fast as we can, and we do, and every episode takes. Now, especially with season two, every episode of Tower 4 took at least 50 hours to create. So it's a lot. And then we have so many other shows that we do. And
here's one that's for Gina, but she doesn't know. Is Jerry actually Amber in disguise? That's a fun one. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say no. Here's actually a really good one from Bearded Train Monkey. This is a couple different ones. I think they're all good. Have you ever considered publishing some character and location artwork? I can answer this one. We aren't artists.
Yeah.
So the answer is no.
We could do stick figures.
Do we know the details and stuff like that? Yeah. But we don't have that skill set of drawing and illustrating. But if you know somebody or you want to do that. Well,
we had a fan reach out recently.
Literally just two days ago say they want to do they were working on a painting or something. I forget their name. I wish I could give them credit right now. But they wanted to draw Amber. They wanted to draw Mike. They wanted to draw the tower. And I said, please, the moment you're done with that, send it over to us. We'd love
to. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
But the funny thing with that was I forget who it was. But yeah, she's like, I want to draw them, but then I realize I listened to the last episode and find out Amber's not exactly who she said she was.
Right.
So now how do I draw them? Like, kind of thing.
Like, which way do I go? I mean, you could do like Amber before and Amber after you know? Like ideal.
Expectations, reality.
Yeah.
500 Days of Summer.
Here's another one that I thought was a really good one. Is Mike's book based on the relationship he wished he had with Mel's kid, or a relationship he used to have?
I guess it's not spoiler-ish. I don't even know if I should say all this, or even if I have said all this.
Yeah.
The character of Melinda is actually loosely based on a relationship.
In reality.
I actually have. So there is a situation where it was kind of like, I thought that expanding upon it, I was like, this might be interesting, because being a father figure when you're not really the father and you're just brought in and you're dating somebody, and but it's going rocky and stuff like that. Are you really like, but you're tied to the kid because you want to be a good like role model and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to put that in the show.
Yeah.
Especially for the fact that Mike didn't have a father growing up, but I mean, he did, but then he disappeared. So it was like, I imagine it is what he had with this child. Like, he was trying to be a good role model, trying to take care of this kid and take care of the mother, who obviously was on drugs and alcohol and all this kind of stuff, and doing things that she shouldn't have been doing. And he just couldn't take it anymore. So he had to leave. And then he feels guilty because he was like, but I miss the kid, because I was trying to be there for the kid. How much can you be there though, before it kind of tears you apart? So it's like, I mean, I think that that's what he experienced, and then that's what he's putting into his book, but he's expanding upon it, kind of like what I did for the show. He's doing it for his book, where he's making it more, you know, developed and an actual story to kind of go with, an entire novel.
Here's one that we've answered a lot in other recaps, but it's a good question to ask. What made y'all come up with this storyline? It's different, and I could have never heard another one like it. Genius. That's from Yvette Sheree Petty. A lot of people ask this question.
except a lot of people.
Is this after Firewatch?
Yeah. Say is.
I did not know what Firewatch was. Apparently, you've heard of it.
No, I played it a long time ago. Yeah, when it came out in 2014.
And apparently it's very loosely based on some of the things that have happened in this one. But it's like people want to know, is this after Firewatch? No.
No, I wrote down like, see, and I was worried about always saying this because it was kind of spoilerish. But now I think I can because of season two finale and everything. There was a lot of inspirations. Sometimes I'll play a game and I like the setting. For instance, sure. The Stone House. I played Dear Esther, which was like this Hebridean island where this person just washes up. And all it is they just walk around trying to figure out why they're there.
Right.
So I like the setting of that. So I was like, oh, but I think it'd be better if it was more XYZ. Of a thriller or a mystery or whatever it was.
And here's the other thing, too, is like you don't own an idea, right? Just because Firewatch takes place and he's a lookout,
right,
that doesn't so mean that you can only ever have one cop video game or one cop movie, or you know what I mean, one
we try to make it
movie
different heist, yeah. I know, yeah. It starts out like it probably is like similar and stuff like that, right. But we try to make it different enough that it's its own thing. In fact, people are like, oh, this is kind of Stranger Things ish oh, this is kind of like Lost,
right?
And it's like, yeah, those were all inspirations.
They all draw from
some other inspirations. Yeah. I had is Super 8, if you ever seen the movie Super 8. And Island of Dr. Moreau.
That's a big one. I love that movie. If you haven't seen Island of Dr. Moreau, go watch that. It's some of Val Kilmer's best work.
No, it's not. It's so horrible. But the book is really good.
And Marlon Brando's in it as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
that one. The 90s
He's
version.
Dr. Moreau.
Yeah. But that actually, Island of Dr. Moreau is probably the closest at this point to what Tower 4 could be. That I'm taking a lot of inspiration from that. Not to say it's exactly the same, but it's a big inspiration for what's to come. So there's a little spoiler.
Yeah. Let's see. Have you ever used an air fryer yet? No, I'm just kidding. That's the that's something
that
completely different.
Somebody did say, what's with the banana chips? And
yes. Somebody asked what Mike's favorite food is.
Yeah, because
they said Amber's favorite food, they said, is told in the story. So they wanted to know
banana
what Mike's
chips.
Was.
Yeah.
Mike's is
that's Amber's,
right?
So Mike's, I don't know.
Mike's is probably
salmon,
linguine and clams.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't say.
Have you ever had banana chips, Gina?
Yeah, I actually do enjoy them. Yeah. You know, lemon plantains. I also like
my life. Have I had banana chips?
No. Oh, they're really good.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good. I like dried fruit in general.
Yeah, me too.
It's it's fruit. It's dry and it has more sugar.
here's a good one though. I like this one from at Woo Pork Chop on Twitter. Creatively, what was the reason you decided not to have Mike go deeper into the bunker?
I'll tell you that. So we're on, I think, episode 8 when he gets to the bunker.
Right.
I needed the season to end at him meeting Amber. Like I wanted it to be there. My thing with him going into the bunker was I felt that it would have really just kind of taken a turn and then it would have been something different. He wouldn't have been
you don't get there if Mike goes deeper into the bunker.
Yeah. There's also another reason that's more story-ish too, that I was like, if I do it now, if he goes down there, it's not going to work out, and it's for story reasons,
right? Because after he meets Amber, he's supposed to go to the Dagobah system to find an old Yoda Jedi
to train
to learn
so
the
he
ways
can actually
force.
Go into the bunker. No, there's a reason, there's another reason for it too, and that reason I don't really want to say. Mm-hmm. But it is story driven in the fact of the bunker he went into, you know, a lot of the lights were off, he couldn't power anything, he couldn't get out of it, and there's a reason for that. And I felt like him also having his thinking about his memories of like with Dr. Browning and then also wondering what went on down there. He saw the lights going on. He saw danger. And he just said, no, you know what? I'm going to escape this time.
I'm ill-equipped for this. You know what I mean? It's one of those scenarios where if you look at it from, you know, his set of shoes, you may not be willing to dive further into mystery for somebody like Jerry.
Well, he thought it would be easier to just talk to this guy who drove out of there, who's all bloody. I'd rather find him and try to get out of here now, because this is not going the way we wanted it to.
Yeah.
Instead of going into the bunker, and he even has a line that says, I could essentially get trapped again,
right?
And then what happens if like the guy doesn't come back or nobody else comes
what
back?
What if I, what if I'm stuck after that?
Yeah.
So how about at @taco_starfish Ballad of Wallet Guy, when is it coming?
Now that is a reference to Across America.
That is a reference,
which is another podcast we do. Yeah. That's
it. Is it's not a Tower 4 question, but it still is valid.
Yeah,
because that character was born
in at some point.
The walk
at some point,
or we'll Across America, rather.
Yeah, yeah. At some point, we'll do an episode for that. I do also have written that now that we have transferred some of our podcasts over to Acast to work with Bloody Disgusting, which is something that we recently did over the last couple months.
That was something that took a lot of time, a lot of conversation and effort and stuff that took us away from the keyboards.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things that now that it's done.
It's done, so we're good. But you'll also notice that doesn't say Seven Land Productions. It says Bloody FM. FM. That's fine. Like, that's their company that they're trying to bring some, you know, the umbrella company that they're trying to bring other podcasts onto it. They're going to help us with marketing and blah, blah. We're adding more, you know, ads to hopefully make more in revenue. But the reason why I just want to stress that is we still have creative control over it.
Yeah.
They're just handling the ads and the marketing. We're really still, like they said, just do your show. We're not going to step in, release it as much as you can when you can. We're not going to step in. We're not going to tell you what you can write, what you can.
That's a hard line. Out. That's a hard line for us. Like, a lot of creators have hard lines. I won't do this. I won't do that. Giving up creative control of our stories and being able to take them where they want to go. That's ours.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to let somebody step in and say, well, maybe your character should do this.
Yeah.
No.
That's what we wanted to make sure we had full control over what we released and how often we
and make sure it was written in blood.
Yeah. So we had a pact.
They didn't like that part, but we did.
It was like the ending of It. We just all cut our hands and held hands. And
they took the blood oath.
Awesome.
So thank you, Bloody Disgusting, for doing a blood oath with us.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to see what else I have. Oh, so another thing that's Bloody Disgusting is when we talked to them, one thing that they mentioned was, hey, can you guys do mid-rolls at some point?
Sure.
We told them we would do mid-rolls.
Now, mid-rolls, for those of you who don't know, there's pre-rolls, post-rolls, and mid-rolls. I'm sure it's getting very clear now. Those are commercials in the beginning, middle, and end of the episode. And we have always had a very no, we're not going to do any commercials in the middle of our shows. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a kind of a double-edged sword because we make less for not putting them in, but one of the things is we may have to start putting them in. But the bright side of that is we're going to be giving you longer episodes.
Yeah, so next season, now it could be anywhere. It could be 8, 9, 10 episodes. We're not sure yet, but we're going to aim for 45 minutes to an hour. That's our goal. That doesn't mean every episode will be like that, but that's what we're hoping for. That way, if we have, you know, an ad in the middle, at least it's like you're getting more content. And we won't just like throw it in there. It'll be like, you know, in a good spot.
It's not going to be like Mike in the middle of a conversation with Amber. It's like, whoa, me undies. Are you
underwear? Some mattress.
When you take them off, do you explode with poop and pee? Try these underwear.
Yes.
Amber,
I'm sorry. You're not a liar. I don't know why I said that all this time.
I've never found something ever in my life.
But yeah, I mean, the other thing that I'll mention is the release schedule, which we've talked about, but I want to say that I don't know if we're going to be able, I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We might take a longer hiatus. There are a lot of
metaphorical chips in the air right now.
Well, and that's the thing is we got a lot of stuff going on, but we don't know if we're going to take a longer hiatus and then try to get all the episodes done and then release them either weekly or bi-weekly, or if we're just going to release sooner. Like, take just a couple months off, then release sooner, but then release monthly like we did before.
Yeah.
People seem to hate that. So
yeah, they do. They
but then they also, I don't know if they're going to want to wait a whole, you know, 8 months or whatever it is to get all the episodes done too. Yeah. So we'll figure it out. We're not sure yet. We also have some other stuff in the background, business stuff going on that we're testing out, and things might change, but we're still going to be doing the shows. Yep. So don't worry about that.
Yeah. And you'll always,
but the way we do them might be different.
Miss Gina and myself. Yeah. Although if we get to hour long episodes, Mike might start talking like this.
And Gina can have some.
Maybe I have to jump in a little bit.
Mike,
Mike was definitely thinking this.
Great. Yeah.
But I thought, you know, so you did make that comment earlier, and I wholeheartedly believe in when you do a sequel to a movie like Coming to America 2, I can't watch it. Yeah. I cannot. I will not, because Coming to America is one of the funniest movies of all time. And it's like an all time favorite of mine. I can't watch a sequel to that because I feel like it's going to ruin it. What's the other one?
There's a lot of them.
No, but there was like Jurassic Park 2. Wasn't great.
Well, but Jurassic World 2 was really bad.
Whoa. I haven't even seen it. So there you go.
Yeah, it was bad.
But I always want to say that I don't want to see the second one, but I feel like this one actually kind of exceeded expectations for me, at least.
I think it ended on a high note. So even if people were like, oh, this is moving too slowly, or, oh, I don't know about this part or something like that, I think that it ended enough on a high note. Mm-hmm. I feel personally,
I felt more stuff was introduced this season than last season.
Yeah, for sure.
Last season was a complete mystery, so everything you got was new information. This season you got to play with a few of the puzzle pieces and kind of be like, oh, okay, I'm starting to kind of see where things are going.
And we're not going to do a Lost thing where like nothing's answered, or like the numbers in season one are just on the lighthouse at the end.
We discussed,
which is
everybody would have been dead the whole time before I even signed
Mike
on to
and
this
Amber
whole thing.
Are in a purgatory.
That's it.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep.
No, we're not doing, we won't do a Lost thing.
Somebody did reference Lost in the questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've mentioned that, like, you know, the mystery and the woods and everything like that. Like, that is, there is a lot of like inspiration from Lost.
Yeah.
I'm a huge, just like, I love movies. There's a lot of shows I love and stuff like that. So when I'm writing, a lot of times, I go all the way back. That's why Todd Browning is referenced in this. I love old movies and stuff too. So I go everywhere and I take inspiration from different things. Some might say I'm like the Tarantino of audio dramas. I would never say that.
People have said it.
No one said it. And I don't expect people to say it.
The Leonardo DiCaprio of audio dramas, as I've known around my bathroom. Is
yeah, of course. You hold a bar of soap pretending it's an Oscar.
Yeah.
Or a shampoo bottle. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's heavier than it looks. Yeah, wow, this is great.
Nice.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I mean, there's, you know, we got a lot of things in the work, and we're definitely gonna have a season 3. And we possibly even a season 4.
I was about to say, so we've envisioned this kind of 4-season.
Yeah, it's going to be shorter. It's going to be shorter than our other stuff. But
I love Tower 4, but I think that's good.
Yeah.
Because so many times it's like, and then one more thing.
Well, I don't want it to go too far for sure. I think 4 seasons would be solid because it's also Tower 4.
Right.
So if we can make it work.
Mike figures out the laser eyes and we're good.
As long as I don't do a George R. R. Martin thing where I just expand the story too much that I can't.
And then everything has to be.
It'll never tie together.
Yeah.
I just like too much that like season 4 ends up being like 35 episodes because I just need to get it done. And like, I can't do it in 10. So, I mean, hopefully not, but that's 4 is what we're aiming for.
Yeah.
And I think 4 would be a good place to stop. Now, if we do spinoffs or something like that, who knows? But at least for Mike's story and this story.
Yeah, the 2-season flirtathon of Amber and Mike.
Yeah. That might be Patreon exclusive.
There you go.
Steven might be like, what show is this? Yeah. What are you guys talking about in there?
Banana chips.
In the forest, okay?
Banana chips, please go away. Yeah. So I thought that was a pretty good little recap. I loved the 4-page monologue I got in the beginning, and I only slipped up 8 times, I feel.
Yeah, about.
I know some of you can see him in video land. He sat there with a pencil and just checked it off every
actually
time.
I got up twice to let your dog came in barging into the door.
We have English bulldogs and they don't care about this door being closed.
No, she pushed it open and then I was petting her for a while and then she wanted to go, so I'm trying to be as quiet as possible and not distract you.
No, I appreciate it.
We're recording in the same place.
Yep. Unlike Miss Gina, who maybe one day we'll get her in here for a recap.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So that's going to do it.
Wait. How often?
It's not
going to
do it for
Florida.
Us. Hold on. Go ahead.
How often? A few times a year. So my in-laws are down there and my 2 sisters are down there. So, I mean. Okay.
So it is possible.
Pretty well. Yeah. I'll be probably down again around Easter, like last year. And nice.
The New Yorker and her.
I mean, I've got places to stay, so it's like not expensive to fly anymore down there. And it's really easy to make it happen. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Now you can do your.
Tell Steve and I we're going to go for a hike.
You would love that.
All right, so thank you so much for tuning in to the Tower 4 Season 2 recap number one of three. No, I'm kidding. thank you so much, Miss Gina, for joining us. It is always a pleasure having you, and thank you for bringing Amber to life for all our folks out there in audio land. Robert, of course, thank you for giving the story to everybody.
No. I'm glad
I was contractually obligated to say that.
I'm glad everybody enjoys
the greatest, the Tarantino of audio. Hey,
there's a note at the bottom of page four. Yeah. Don't forget.
Oh my gosh.
Somehow Tower 4 is like now better, like getting more downloads than End of All Hope and Paralyzed and stuff. So that's crazy. It's growing real fast and people really like it. So we're going to keep doing it. And And make sure, guys, if you don't follow us at Seven Lamb Podcast, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, because we do post updates. Like if we're late on releasing an episode because something happens, we mention that. We try to post schedules when we can, all that stuff.
Especially or go on the Facebook group. Sevenlamb.com. You can message us there as well. There are plenty of ways to get to you. And get to more us. Often than not, we will get to us. We will respond to you. So
yeah, we always try to respond. If we miss you, it's just because it got lost in the shuffle, but you can always email us again. We always try to respond to everybody.
Yeah, I kind of make it a point to make sure I respond to everybody that I can. So please feel free to do that, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
This has been a Seven Lamb production.
And now for the trailer of The Hitler File.
Now playing from Voyage Media, a new historical thriller that takes you into the mind of the world's most terrifying dictator through the man who unlocks it and uses it to destroy him.
Pale, brooding, with a thick brush mustache, he stands at attention while he looks at me. I can feel his eyes boring into me. I read the medical file. Adolf Hitler, corporal, signal runner, 16th, mustard gas victim at Ypres, 1918.
I am not a victim.
We have frequent sessions during Corporal Hitler's stay here at Berlin. Do you truly want help?
You tell me the truth. No one else around me does. As long as I live and breathe, we shall be yoked together.
Starring Peter Stormare from Fargo and Constantine.
I knew the choice I was making. This could only end with one of us dead. Then I knew, whatever the cost, whatever my hypocritic oath demanded, I would not stop my intention to kill Hitler, as only I knew how.
And Dennis O'Hare from American Horror Story and True Blood.
Guilty? Of course they were guilty. If I say they were guilty, they were guilty. They have been trying to kill me since 1932 and have never succeeded. They shall never succeed. I shall kill myself before any of them shall do so. Do you understand me, Doctor?
The Hitler File. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
To hear the entire series, go to hitlerfile.com or search for Hitler File wherever you listen to podcasts.